In a shoebox. The gospel in a shoebox. You don't have to stand if you don't want to. I'm just going to read one verse. Philippians 6 and 15. And your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Read it again. And your feet shod, I mean put them on, with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Father in heaven, we ask this morning your blessings upon the word, and we ask this morning, Lord, that you would allow your spirit to go forth. Help us, God, that we can and will continue to do your will above all things. Allow something to be said or done that would encourage someone this morning, Lord, that they can be encouraged further in the Christian walk. In Jesus' mighty name, and the church says, amen. Some Christians put on sneakers, running shoes, flip-flops, baby shoes, when what we ought to be putting on is combat boots. Notice this. It's what I'm going to be talking about. Sneakers, running shoes, flip-flops, baby shoes, and combat boots. There was a Bible student who wanted everything that he said to be scriptural-based in everything he did. You ever meet anybody like that? I have. He wanted to be able to quote the Bible verses for everything he did. All went fine until he fell in love with a beautiful girl. He wanted ever so much to kiss her, but he couldn't think of a scripture for this. Finally, he thought on a verse. Greet each other with a holy kiss. But he went to the professor, and the professor said, hey, this is dealing with church settings, not a dating situation. So again, he walked her home, but he couldn't kiss the girl goodnight. The next evening, he walked her to the dormitory and once again started to say goodnight. But as he did, she grabbed him, pulled him toward her, and planted a big 10-second kiss right on his lips. At the end of the kiss, he grasped for air, and he stumbles, but and stutters a little bit, but the Bible verse, and he's looking for another Bible verse, he's looking for something to go along with this. The little girl grabbed him a second time and planted another kiss, and he said, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Oh, my goodness. One of the things that I've learned early in life was to pay attention to the shoes that you choose to wear. Let me just throw this in for good measure. I don't understand how in the world women can wear high heels with 6-inch heels and expect them to be comfortable looking, because you know they're not. It couldn't be. And then you see some of these people that have wore high heels for years and years, and you look at their feet and they're just like a little point, and they're all cramped up. And then as they get older, they get arthritis in there, and they stay that way. Now, that's just something that's none of my business. If they want to wear high heels, that's fine. I have to admit they look nice, but I'd say they don't feel nice. For sports, you need something to grip real good. And if you're going to work in mud or water, you want to wear waterproof boots. So if you're going to a formal occasion, you need to wear dress shoes, and they look nice. So part of the armor of God also includes shoes for spiritual warfare. And Paul said, your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel. And this is what we're talking about this morning. I want to share with you today the gospel in a shoebox and to look at five types of footwear that modern Christians are wearing and ask, what kind of shoes are you wearing? Think on this just a little bit. What kind of shoes are you wearing? I didn't have any combat boots. I started to call Travis this morning and see if he had a pair he'd bring and just sit here on the altar where you could see them, but you know what combat boots are. It's what military men wear because it's good for battle. The one I want to talk about first is a sneakers. The first pair of shoes is sneakers, and that makes you be very quiet. You can sneak up on things and all of this. Some people sneak around in secret sin, though. David said that the people sneak around to smear his reputation and to betray him. Isaac said in his day that they were sneaking who were in sin and scandal. And then Zephaniah says that the people sneak around to worship false gods. We see a lot of things today, folks. Those who wear sneakers think that they can sin and God won't see them. It's impossible, folks. Why in the world anybody would think that? Because God is everywhere. There's no place that we can go that God does not see us. Jesus said there's nothing hid that won't be disclosed and nothing concealed that won't be made known. So we can understand that, hey, you can't hide. Even though people try to hide things and sneak around and do things and then act holy, holy on Sunday morning, they think it's all right. You see, the Word of God teaches us to be completely honest with God and confess our sins. And if we do, 1 John 9:1 says that God is faithful to forgive us of our sins. So you can't tiptoe around sin. You got to hit it straight head on. So sneaking around is like a secret witness sometimes. They do it so to kind of fit in with society. People think they can sneak around and fit right in with the world, right in with society, with everything's going on and all of this. And I have to admit that the Church of God several years ago, not all that many years, one of the things that was on the agenda was social drinking. They tried to pass, which it was voted down big, and thank God it was, but they thought social drinking was all right. It's not all right. So we need to be who we are and who we say we are. Can you say amen? So we understand that, folks, there's a lot of things that we can do to try to fit into the world. And a lot of people says, well, if we do these worldly things, we can gain people and we can bring them into the house of God. You're not going to bring somebody in the house of God trying to fit in with them and do whatever they do. You just have to straighten your act up. There's a little lizard that changes its color and it fits in with whatever background it is. But that's a lizard. We're not a lizard. So we need to understand we don't fit into every situation. Jesus warned, whosoever confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father in heaven. But whosoever denieth me before men, him I will also deny before my Father who is in heaven. So we need to confess Jesus in our life. Some people you meet, you wouldn't know if they're a Christian or not, the way they act, the way they talk, and even the way they look. You say, well, let's not get on the looks. Well, I'm just going to say it once and for all because, hey, looks is very valuable and looks is very important. Can you say amen? If we dress like the world, look like the world, and act like the world, evidently people's going to think we are of the world, right? Oh, you shouldn't say things like this. Sneaking into heaven, there's no way. Also, some people think it's possible to sneak into heaven. There was comedian W.C. Fields once was caught looking at a Bible. And his friend asked him, said, "Why are you looking at the Bible? Are you getting religious?" He responded, "No, my boy. I'm just looking for a loophole. But I want to tell you, you can look all you want to. There's no loopholes in the Bible. There's loopholes in our laws in the state and federal and all of this. There's some loopholes that big high paying, you can pay high these high dollar lawyers and all this. And sometimes they can find a loophole. And they can find a loophole because they're trying to find some way to sneak you through the crime you've committed so you don't have to go to prison or don't have to pay the fine or whatever. But I want to tell you, these lawyers, a lot of them, now there's good lawyers, don't get me wrong, there's Christian lawyers, thank God for a person like Jay Sekulow or somebody or his son or Christian lawyers and all of this. They study the law, they know the law. We had a lawyer here in the county one time, he was a smart man, they said, "See, if you want somebody to get you out of something," said, "you go to him and he'll work it out. He'll get you out of it if there's any way to get you out." And they told a story about him, and I've told this here before, but he wanted to act real, you know, like he was heart-touched in all of this. So before he got up there to plead his case, he got him some green onions and put in his pockets. And every once in a while, he'd run his hands in his pocket and rub his hands on there and rub them in his eyes, and his eyes were watering like he was really crying. Well, you can pull all kind of shenanigans you want. You can do all the things you want. But I want to tell you something now. You're not hiding from God. And God knows all about it. Can you just say amen to that? No loopholes. So you need to ask forgiveness. And that's plain and simple, because if we go to Jesus, we need to go to him for our salvation. And then the second shoes I want to talk about is the running shoes. The running shoes are good sometimes. If you're running long distance, you know that you need some shoes that are lightweight and very comfortable for you to run, and they have a lot of cushion on your feet, and you can keep you from getting your feet all blistery and all of this. But running shoes aren't valuable in the kingdom of God unless they're pointing in the right direction. So if you're running in the wrong direction, all of these running shoes, it don't mean nothing. It's not going to help you in the least, because you're running away. It's things that people run away from. One thing is, people run away from conviction. The Jewish leader questioned Stephen in the book of Acts and talked about this. He was convicted by the Holy Spirit and covered his ears, and he didn't want to hear what Stephen had to say. He didn't want to hear. You can cover your ears all you want to, but I'm telling you, folks, you cannot get away from the Word of God. You can cover your ears, but hey, you can hear anyway, because if God wants you to hear, you're going to hear. If you got earplugs in, you're still going to hear God. Because he's going to speak to your spirit. He's going to speak to your heart. And he's going to take care of you. But running from the call and the will of God. Many, many people have run from the calling of God for years and years before they would surrender. And one of the things is, we see and hear testimonies about people that run from the calling of God to minister the Word of God. Well, I know a pastor, he's gone on to heaven now, no doubt, but he ran from God. He testified to this himself. He ran from God 2 years before he would ever surrender to preach the Word of God. He had no doubt seen and heard how people down pastors and preachers and all of this, and he just didn't want to do it. God called him to do it, but he didn't want to do it. But finally, he surrendered to God after God chastised him enough. I want to tell you, God will chastise you if you don't do what he has you to do. One of the people is Jonah. Jonah was a famous person. He was something, but he was wearing these running shoes. So God told him to go down to the city of Nineveh and preach the gospel. And what did he do? He put his running shoes on and he ran the other direction. He didn't want nothing to do with going to Nineveh. He hated the people. He didn't want nothing to do with them. So he ran and got on a ship. Well, I want to tell you, you know the story, because, hey, He wound up in a fish's belly before he finally got willing. Folks, you can run, you can hide, or think you're hiding, and all that. You're not hiding. God knows where you're at. And you just might as well, as this new generation or younger generation says, just suck it up. I hope that's not a bad word. I'm saying it in that order, but I'm telling you, you just need to go on and get it done, right? Amen. And then there's from marriages. Marriage can be something that we want to run away from at times. When your wife gets hot on your case, or your husband gets hot on your case, you'd like to just run away sometime, but that's not what you're supposed to do. Let me just give you an expiration date illustration. One wife saw her husband looking frustrated, and he was rereading the marriage certificate from the top to the bottom over and over again. She asked, "Honey, what are you looking for?" He answered, "Nothing, dear. I was just looking to see if there was an expiration date on this paper." So God wants us to be determined to stick it out even in our marriages. And he said, even though I know some is impossible, now don't get me wrong. And you have a right to put them away if for certain reason. You can read about it in the Bible. But no matter what hardships come, we need to try to stick it out as best we can. And I'm going to leave that at that, because everybody has different viewpoints and so forth, but all I can tell you is what the Word of God says. And then from our parts, we don't need to wallow in our past, but we need to get closure to confess our faults, forgive our offenders, give it to God, get healing, and then move on with the plan of God. So did you put on your running shoes today? Did you put on your running shoes trying to run from what God has called you to do? Well, I don't want to tell you, folks, you need to get those shoes off, but be careful and not put the next shoes on. I'm talking about is flip-flops. I don't know why in the world ever made such thing, in my opinion, but that's my opinion. So the third pair of shoes people wear are flip-flops. So what is a flip-flop Christian? It's a Christian who only commits to God for a short time. On Sunday, they'll rush to the altar, they'll cry, and they'll confess, but on a Monday, you won't know that there was anything that happened to them. They put these flip-flops on. And then, just a little humor, but I heard of three pastors who had a problem with bats in their church. I've read this here before, but they decided to try three different ways of getting rid of those bats and tell about their success once they got rid of them. The first pastor told how that he got his shotgun and he shot them and he killed every one of the bats, but the church house roof was full of holes. The second pastor said he trapped them, took them 50 miles away and released them, and the bats beat him back to the church before he got there. Then the third pastor says, "I had no problem getting rid of them." "How?" the other two pastors asked. "It was simple. I just baptized them, and they became members of the church, and I haven't seen them since." Flip-flop Christians. James describes a flip-flop as a double-minded, unstable in all he does and says. So that person shouldn't think that they're going to receive anything from the Lord. Folks, we need to understand, people flip-flop on whether they will teach a class or whether they'll go to a prayer meeting or whether they'll be faithful to the church or stay at one job or stay in a relationship. Flip-flop. So now, we need to understand, folks, that we don't need to be flip-flopping around all the time. Joshua faced the same problem, and he gave us a remedy. Choose for yourself today whom we will serve. Choose who we're going to serve. If you're going to serve manna, you're going to serve the devil, go ahead and serve it. But if you're going to serve God, let's serve God. But as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. And this is exactly what we need to make up our mind we're going to do. Make up your mind to stick to it. See, it's the Lord. If the Lord is our God, then we need to understand, hey, are you wearing the flip-flops today? Are you just flip-flopping around? I'm telling you, those things are dangerous. Did you ever see anybody try to run in flip-flops? It's dangerous. It can get you hurt. The fourth I want to talk about is baby shoes. The fourth pair of shoes are the baby shoes, and they're the characteristics of a baby shoe Christian. Paul told the Corinthians that he couldn't speak to them as mature believers because they were carnal, like babies in Christ, incapable of ingesting anything but milk. Babies can't eat food because they don't have any teeth to chew it with, right? They also play with their food and they make a terrible mess out of it. Can you just say amen to that? I see these babies poking food up their nose and everything else, have it in their eyes and shoo, Lordy. But they're babies. They got to learn. So we shouldn't look down on the nose on a Christian baby, I don't guess, but because we've all been babies before, can you say amen? I don't remember when I was a baby, but they say I was, and I'm going to take their word for it. So God has so much patience with us, even when we had bad attitudes, when we threw tandems, and then when we were disobedient and selfish, God looked down on us because he knew we were immature. But immaturity has nothing to do with our spiritual age. Unfortunately, some baby shoe Christians have been saved for 30, possibly 40 or 50 years longer, and still they want the bottle in their mouth. They've never thrown away their pacifier either. Now, Pastor, I don't want to get too involved, so just let me have a little bit of the milk. The milk. And I'll suck on that pacifier just a little bit. I got in big trouble. A lot of people got offended and upset at me once, but I got tired of preaching to some people that were baby Christians and they didn't want to grow. So I went and I found me a big green pacifier. That thing was about that long. And I got it and I put it up on the wall at the back of the church where everybody could see it. And I said, now here's what some of you are acting like. You need this pacifier. It didn't go over too well, but I got the point over anyway. So I think some of them tried to grow up whether they could or not. So we need to grow up and act responsible and take on what we need to be done and in the church as well. It's time we quit being forever receivers but start becoming givers instead. Some people, it's all about them. Gimme, 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 gimme. You ever see children run around and after parents, I want this, mommy. I want this, dad. I want this. Gimme, 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 gimme. And then when it comes in return, well, how about you mowing the lawn and, and maybe we can work something out. I ain't mowing no yard. Hey, it's too hard. It's hard work. Well, I want to tell you something. Sometimes you need to grow up. There comes a day and an hour that there's one of these days that you're going to need to work and take care of your family. And if you don't know anything about work, but it's our duty as parents to teach some things too, right? So instead of always wanting somebody to give to you, how about giving something back in return? So we need to get out of this Christian playground and get on the fight and get on the battlefield and start winning souls for Christ. So are you still wearing baby shoes? Number five, combat boots. I've heard people say, I'm not a fighter, I'm a lover. I want to tell you what, you can love your wife, but sometimes you got to stand your ground too, or your husband. It's a war zone sometimes. Am I telling you the truth? I'm telling you what, these women, they're as moody as I don't know what. And we men are worse than that. Oh, you thought you was going to get by with it, didn't you? Yeah. We men are moody. We men are grumpy. What's the matter, men? You don't have to confess to me. Just confess to your wife because she already knows it anyway. So the correct footwear for victory is, as I said, the last pair of shoes is the one that Christians are supposed to be wearing, our combat boots. Paul said, take your stand, and then with the truth, we need to gird ourselves with the righteousness, the breastplate, and all of this, and the gospel of peace firmly up on our feet, our salvation, and your helmet in your hand, on your head rather, and your sword in your hand. So that we need to get the word of God. We need to do the very best we can, but above all things, we need to take faith, the shield of faith, for it can conquer every burning, fiery dart or missile, if you want to call it that, that the enemy throws at you. So if we have on the right armor, we have on the right foot gear, and we have what is right in our heart, we're going to be all right. No army in the world would ever send out their soldiers barefoot. Did you ever see soldiers running around in barefoot, nothing on their feet? I notice sometimes these guys that belong to the National Guard up here, I see them exercising, but they run and get their exercise, and I see them running by, and I think, you're doing good, you know. And after a while, they look pretty good. Then I see them come back a little bit later, and man, their back's wet, and they're sweaty and all this. But they're training, and they're working to prepare themselves for what they might face in the future. Let me ask you something. Are you preparing yourself for what might happen in the future? Are you preparing yourself? Because I'm telling you, according to the Word of God, a lot of things are going to take place. And we need to train ourselves, get ourselves in shape, and do the very best we can. But if you have on flip-flops, flipping up, flopping around all the time, and that's all you want to do, you have running shoes, you want to run here, there, and somewhere else. It's amazing to me how many I'm just going to say Christians or so-called either one, every time they hear of a flame pop up somewhere else or somebody getting saved at another church, they run after it. They head out. They run toward that church. And they get there then and there a few days and they don't see nobody getting saved. They're not being blessed there. And they think, well, and then they hear about another flame pop up somewhere else. And then they're flame chasers. They just go one place and then another place and just flip-flop around. And then when they get through all of this, then they find themselves weak, hungry, tired, exhausted, and they come right back to where they left. And then they say, well, you know, we had a good time out there, but we're back home. Well, I want to tell you something, folks. You need to be careful who you're running after. You need to be careful to get those running shoes on and run and all of this. You need to put your combats on. And every time there's a little thing that pops up, and there'll be things pop up in any church, there's always some indifference somewhere, somehow, or sometime. But you need to stick it out and don't run off somewhere because you feel like if I just get away from it all, you can go anywhere you want to and there's always going to be problems. Can you say amen, church? Always. Let me give you a little illustration, closing shortly. A missionary in the back country of Africa was telling of a wonderful story of Jesus. And the people were gathered on a beautiful moonlight night in a clearing in the forest. Seated aground on the front seat was the chief of the village. The missionary told him, In a vivid language of sin, the sin life, the goodness, and a miracle of Jesus. Then he began to tell them about the dark times of betrayal by Judas, and then the arrest in the garden, and the trial before Pontius Pilate. And then the people began to mourn and cry and say, no, not that good man. But then the story got to the crucifixion. The people began to weep. When the missionary told how that they drove the nails and in his hands and feet and stood him up, stood the cross up, the chief jumped up to his feet and he shouted, "Stop! Take him down from the cross. I belong there, not him." Well, I want to tell you something now, folks. We all deserve to be on the cross rather than Jesus. Jesus had no sin, but he took our place, and he went there. And then, as the story goes, the chief got saved, and revival broke out in that village. And he was right. We should have suffered for our sins, not Jesus. Folks, I'm telling you, we're serving a great and a wonderful God. He loves us so much. But I want to ask you one more time, what kind of shoes are you wearing? Are you running after Jesus? Are you asking him? Because I want to tell you, he says he's a bread of life. He says, "I'm the light, I'm the door, I'm the shepherd, I'm the way, the truth, and the life." Are we wearing shoes that we can run away? First of all, can we sneak around? Can we sneak around and do our own thing and still pretend to be something we're not? Can we start this running thing and run all over the place in different places? And then can we have the flip-flops and we just flip-flop here and there and wherever we want to go and never commit ourselves to anything? Or then, what about the baby shoes? Are you still immature? Are you still a baby? You haven't grown up? I want to tell you, folks, or are you the Christian that has a combat boots? You're ready for battle when the battle occurs. You're ready for the battle when things begin to happen. You're not ready to run. You're not ready to just sit down and quit. You're not ready to run somewhere else, but you're ready to stand your ground and say, "Enough is enough. Too much is nasty, and I'm standing because Jesus is on my side. He's never failed me and he never will fail me. So why in the world should I run? Why should I try to hide? Why should I try to go somewhere else?" So I want to ask you again, what kind of shoes are you wearing as they come to the music? Jesus wants us to wear not just shoes all the time, but he wants us to also be ready to slip on those combat boots when needed and stand our ground. So God has called us. He has placed us in a position and a church that he desires. He's placed us to do a work. He's given a calling, put a calling in our life. But if you're running from that calling and you think, "Hey, it'll be all right. One of these days, it'll be all right." No, it's time to get down to business with God and stop playing around and get down where you can be used of God. If you're always flying around, hopping around, and all of this, and one thing about flip-flops, you'll never slip up on somebody because you just flop, 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 flop. I never could stand them things between my toes. I bought me a pair once that didn't go between your toes, just slid your whole foot in there. And I thought, boy, these would be all right. I tried to run in them once, and it didn't work. It didn't work. Fell flat on my face. I didn't try that no more. Finally threw them in the garbage. Flip-flops is not for me. If they are for you, that's well and good. Let's stand this morning. So this is kind of the gospel in a shoebox, as a sense. There's different ways. There's different things. The sneakers, the running shoes, the flip-flops, the baby shoes. And then there's the combat boots. Prepare yourself. Be ready for battle. Put on the whole armor of God, and he'll take care of you, won't he? The altar's open if you want to come and pray. If you've been kind of flip-flopping around, just playing around, it's time to come and get it right with God. It's time to come and lay it all on the altar and say, "God, I'm ready. I'm ready to do that calling. I'm ready to do that work. I'm ready to do whatever you would have me to do." And he is always there to help us. Come on, let's pray.